Open your Bibles, if you would, with me to the book of Deuteronomy. We've been working our way through a Bible survey, of course, and we are now moving along a little more rapidly than we once did. You have to understand, in Florida, at Grace Baptist Church, I tried to do a Bible survey once. I was a year and a half in Genesis. A Bible survey is hard for me to do. I get to chewing around on little nuggets and little aspects here and there, and it ends up not being so much of a Bible survey. But in our Bible survey on Wednesday nights here, I've tried to really take a step back and look at the bigger picture that God has given to us in our Bibles. And I bring it up all the time that we are so blessed to live in a day and age when we have the completed Word of God. I mean, you take old David writing about the law of God, and probably all he had was the first five books of the Bible. We call it the Pentateuch, the writings of Moses. And he was thrilled to have that. We've got the whole book. We have the completed, preserved revelation of God given to his people. And so we can take a step back and we can look at some types and shadows in the Old Testament. We can come up into the New Testament and see where they're fulfilled. And we can take the New Testament and look at something and say, hey, it has its roots and its basis right here in the Old Testament. And that's amazing that we live in this day and age. We look at now the children of Israel's journey out of Egypt. We've looked at Moses. Moses was a prepared servant. He lived 120 years. We'll see with the Lord's help tonight the passing of Moses. He lived 120 years. In the first 40 years of his life, he was in Egypt. He was learning from the best of the best that Egypt had to offer. And then, seemingly, ran ahead of the Lord a little bit, and God took him to the backside of the desert where he tended sheep. For another 40 years, he learned now at the best, at the feet of God. Moses learned to be humble. Moses learned to lean on God far more than to lean on himself or to lean on the things of man. And we see Moses, as God approached him to go into Egypt, he said, I can't do that. And then he said, yes, you can. He said, well, I can't talk very good. Take Aaron. And we see Moses tell God, after a little bit of a dilemma, okay, I'll go, but you've got to go with me. I'll go, but you have got to go with me. That's a good place to be, willing to follow the Lord and say, you be my guide, you be my shield, you be my everything. And so we witnessed Moses pull the children of Israel. Moses used of God to have the children of Israel come out of Egypt. And we saw in that first year the giving of the law, the building of the tabernacle, and all those things that we looked at length back a few weeks ago. And even to the point of, go look at the land that I'm giving you. Send one from each tribe into the land that I'm giving you and have them tell you what's there. It wasn't to to go see if you can calculate if our army's big enough to take theirs. It was just go look and see what I've given you. And of course the 10 came back and said, we can't. Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we can. God has said, take the land. Come on. And Joshua and Caleb in the minority, but they were on God's side and they were right. But the masses didn't listen to what was right. They listened to the 10, and that whole generation was condemned to die in the wilderness as they wandered around the wilderness for the rest of the 40 years. And so, as that generation was dying, they're just walking around the wilderness, being led by the Spirit of God in the fire, in the cloud. And maybe they would rest, and when they would stop, when God's leadership would stop, the children of Israel would stop. And when they would go, the children of Israel would go. And they did that for 40 years while that whole generation died. We're coming down now to the very last of that 40 years. The book of Deuteronomy only covers about 1 month. Something around the time frame of 1 month. And we have now seen, since the giving of the law in Exodus 20, we have seen 40 years go by and that whole generation die in the wilderness, save Joshua and Caleb. And so now they're right on the precipice of going into the land. They're right there, ready again to go into the land. And the book of Numbers ends with instructions of who goes where in the land and how to divide up, and different practical instructions for how to assume possession of that land. The book of Deuteronomy picks up right from there and begins to instruct by way of the law. Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. Needs to be always kept in your mind that it was not a new law, but it was the second giving of the original law. The first giving of the law to that generation died with that generation, in one way of looking at it. That whole generation died, and so God is now preparing them to go in and take the land. He has a new generation that has risen, and he reaffirms to them his law. He restates it to them. And we'll look at it in a little bit. He reminds them, now you keep this, and you keep reading this, and you teach it to your children. Don't lose sight of how I have commanded you to live. Why? You're my people. You're special. I want you to have your steps so directed in the Word of God that your lives are so much different than the lives of those that are in the world. And we think of the giving of the law as something from a cold, narrow taskmaster. But you young people especially, think about this. Your mom and dad have rules. And the rules, you know, simple little rules like don't play in the street. Simple little rules like don't go swimming for an hour after you eat, until an hour after you eat. Simple little rules, whatever the rules are. Don't jump off the roof. These rules are not to restrict your fun. These rules are to keep you alive and healthy. And they're motivated because mom and dad love you and want what's best for you. The law of God is that way. God's not trying to figure out how he can put a damper on man's fun. He has given order and direction and tells them, you live this way, your life will be so much more meaningful. Your life will have so many less heartaches. You follow my pattern. You stay close to me. I'll stay close to you. And life will be a grand and glorious thing. And so he's giving the law again. He's continuing to prepare this generation. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 44 through 49, he's giving us a little historical context. This is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which Moses spake unto the children of Israel after they came forth out of Egypt. On this side of Jordan in the valley over against Beth Peor in the land of Shion, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, whom Moses and the children of Israel smote after they were come forth out of Egypt. And they possessed his land, and the land of Og, king of Bashan, two kings of the Amorites, which were on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising. From Aori, which is by the bank of the by the bank of the river Arnon, even unto Mount Zion, which is Hermon, in all the plain of this side of Jordan eastward, even unto the sea of the plain under the springs of Pisa. Now, he said in verse 44, this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. This is it. I'm going to restate it to you. Moms and dads, you ever have to restate the rules? You ever have to say, I told you this is to be done and this is not to be done? You know? You young people, you ever forget? You ever forget on purpose? Mom and dad ever have to say, hey, remember? Well, these folks aren't any different than us folks today. They need to be reminded. And he's reminding them, first of all, this is what I gave you before. This is not anything new. You know, this is the same law that we've been given a generation earlier. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at the time to show you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid by reason of the fire, and went not up into the mount, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount of the midst of the fire, and of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone, and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And ye said, Behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire, and we have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. So we have in Deuteronomy chapter 5, the restating of the law of God originally given in Exodus chapter 20. We call this the moral law of God. There, as we brought out before, there are other laws, ceremonial laws and these things. But when we're talking about the Ten Commandments, and whenever I say the moral law of God, I'm talking about the Ten Commandments. Those thou shalt and thou shalt nots that direct our morality. And he has delivered them into the ears of the children of Israel, of that new generation again. Now verse 28 of this chapter. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children forever. Notice what he says. He reminds them of what they said 40 years earlier. We'll do it. Anything God said, we'll do it. How long did that last? Oh, they had well spoken. But what does he follow it up with? Oh, that there were such a heart in them. What came out of their lips was not demonstrated with their lives. And when that's the case, Jesus told us the reason. It's what's flowing from the heart. The fruit, the evidence of what's in the heart will be our lives. And he said, oh, that there will be a fear for me, that they would give me the proper respect and fear, that they would have that awe of me, That kind that Moses had and is recorded in Hebrews 11. That Noah had and is recorded in Hebrews 11. Noah was moved with fear. God spoke and he moved because he was fearful. He knew that God meant business. And he says here, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children forever. I said earlier at the beginning that these things that God has directed them to do and to not do, these are for their good. And he said, oh, that they had a heart that would be the case now and forever. Now he goes on in chapter 6 to reinforce how that is going to be perpetuated. In the first several parts of chapter 6 is just telling, well, we'll read a little bit of it here. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mayest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his commandments and statutes and his commandments which I command thee, and thy son and thy son's son all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord thy God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest down in thine house, or sitteth in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between their eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all the good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged that thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of the bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and thou shalt swear by his name. And we see in Deuteronomy chapter 6 the emphasis there in verse 7. You teach these things to your children everywhere they go. When they're coming in the house, when they're going out of the house, in the house throughout, teach them the word of God. Have it before them at all times. Keep it constant before them. Verse 20, look. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto him, unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. And go ahead and tell him the story. And tell him how God brought you out of Egypt, and tell him the benefit of following God and staying close to him. But pass it on to your children. Chapter 7, he goes on and he tells them why. Why are you doing this? Verse 6, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand to redeem you out of the house of the bondman from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Why is God so interested in how I live? Why is God so interested in how I walk? He loves you. And he reminds him right off. He doesn't love you because there's anything special in you. He loves you for his own purpose. He loves you because he loves you. He didn't look down and say, "Oh, Randy Graver, he would make me a fine candidate. I think I'll love him." That's the kind of stuff man does. We look at the outside and say, "He'll make a fine candidate for whatever." God says, "I love it. I'm going to save it. I'm going to put his feet on a solid rock. I'm going to direct his steps." Why? Because I love him. And I want it to go well with him and his children and their children. So he reminds them why he's doing this. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no." So an exhortation to obedience, to remember God and what he's done. We go on and we consider, just if you're taking notes, you can write a couple of chapters down. We looked at the moral law and the re-giving of the moral law in Deuteronomy chapter 5. But in Deuteronomy chapter 12 through chapter 16, verse 17, laws for worship, and he restates those laws that he was so explicit in earlier. Chapter 16, verse 18, on through the end of chapter 20, laws for government. And then chapter 21 through chapter 26, and verse 15, social laws. A restating of all these various laws. A reminder of how he has ordered their steps and why. And that it's done for their benefit. Now, jump back towards the end of the book in chapter 27. "And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day." And I gave you an overview of all those other laws that had been covered in the interim. "Keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones with plaster, and plaster them with plaster, and thou shalt write upon them the words of this law, when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee." Now Deuteronomy 31 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 31, verse 9 through 13. "And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests and the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and the stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. Every 7 years, gather up everybody. Men, women, children, gather them all up and just start reading the law. Just start reading the things that God has commanded them. And those little ones then, as they begin to hear it from little up and are reminded over and over, this is what God has done for us. This is how that God has ordered our steps, and so that it may be well with us and our children and their children. Now in chapter 34, Moses' work is done. Moses was told of God. He wasn't going into the promised land. He had disobeyed God, smiting the rock. And God said, you're not going into the promised land. So in chapter 34, verses 1 through 8, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the top, unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. In the south of the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed, and have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. Moses, 120 years old, all of his normal natural strength intact, all of his normal eyesight still there. In other words, the Bible's describing to us that he wasn't a rickety old man that died of old age. But at 120 years old, his work on this earth was done. And God took him to the mount where he could look and see that wonderful place that he'd promised so many generations earlier. And that Moses had been used of God to bring the children out of Egypt and take them to that land. And now giving them the law and re-giving them the law again. And now his work was done. And he laid down his life right there. He just laid it down. He didn't die of natural causes, didn't die of old age. His work was done. God took him home. I was down in a meeting in West Virginia with a preacher from California. He looked out the window of this little church house that was right next to a cemetery. And one of the gravestones said, Moses, And that preacher yelled, "I found Moses!" All of us kind of looked at him like maybe he'd been out in the sun too long or something. And then it dawned on us what he was saying, and we went over to the window, and he pointed out the grave marker that said Moses. But the reality of it is that God buried Moses up there, and nobody knows exactly where. But the man of God's service to his master was done, and he laid down his life there on that mountain. May God help us to remember what God has done for us, why he's given us his book to direct and order our steps. Not that it might limit our fun, but that it might be well with us and we don't carry around in our bodies the scars of sin. And that we teach it to our children and their children, and be used of God to teach it to anybody who will listen. This is how God said to walk and to live and to prosper. And may God use us in that effort of helping folks to see it, to learn it, to fear God and obey God. Brother Elmer, will you dismiss us in prayer?